Turn, if you will, in your Bible tonight to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Story of the floating axe head, I think it's a very interesting story. Starting with verse 1, and the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, Where did it fall? So he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for a reading of your word. And God, we ask that you just bless us with it. Honor, that we might honor you and glorify you in our lives. God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Now, I just happen to have this in my pocket. Did anybody lose this? No, you didn't lose it. I brought it with me. What is this? It's a glove. It's a rather good glove. It had never been used yet, so it hadn't got any work done. But you know, it can't do anything by itself, can it? It's just useless by itself. You have to actually put it on your hand to use it. And I don't like to do that. I don't like gloves. They always seem like to get my fingers mashed in those things. But anyhow, it has fingers in each one. And if you try to put it on just a little bit without putting your hand in the fingers, then it's pretty useless, right? So it's designed that each finger is filled. Now, I didn't come here tonight just to give you a lesson how to put on a glove. The Christian, you and I, are like this glove in a way. We can't do anything, can we, in and of ourselves. The Holy Spirit has to fill our lives, doesn't he? And he doesn't just want one part. He wants all of us. We are to be filled, Ephesians says, with the Holy Spirit if we are to be useful, just like this glove has to be filled with your fingers if you're going to be useful. Now, the problem is today, I see with Christians, is we try to act like the hand instead of the glove. Amen or oh me. And because of that, we get only what we can do instead of what God can do. As I was reading this story of the axe head, I've always enjoyed this because it's a miracle for iron axe head to fall into the river and Elisha make it float back up. Well, as we study the axe head tonight, it is to show you that we can serve and work with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life as individuals. You see, I believe each one of us have a purpose. I use that a lot. I believe that you're saved to serve God. I believe God has a purpose for every person. He wants none to should perish, but all should have eternal life. I believe he has a divine purpose in our life. And there is something that he wants me to do. There's something that he wants you to do with your life. Now, it is sad, that most Christians live their whole life not knowing God's purpose for them. And that's a true statement. Folks, we have to have preparation for the work of God. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says. The sons of the prophet. Now, a prophet was one who did what? Declared the word of God. Sometimes we think of one who only declared the future events, but prophets were foretellers and forthtellers in their life. They communicated to the people what God said and what God was going to do. Now, the word sons doesn't mean they were a bunch of small children. It means they were a group of young men or a group of men who were studying the word of God together. Now, they were in some kind of school of the prophets, kind of like we have in our seminaries, I suppose, where you can go and get a Christian education to prepare you for preaching, prepare you for the ministry, prepare you for an education. Now, apparently, they had a problem. They had outgrown a good problem. They had outgrown their facility, and they needed to build a new facility. And they recommended that they should go into a building program. See, times hadn't changed much. They still do building programs. These young men were preparing in their ministry to do what God had called them to do. And folks, as Christians, we need to prepare to do the work that God has called us as a church to do. A preparation for the work. Look at what it says. Let us go, we pray thee. So everyone took a beam. What is a beam? It was simply a log for building. It could enlarge the room of their school. It could enlarge their school. And Elijah said, let's go down to a good location where there's a lot of natural building materials, a lot of trees to build this school. And now, what I want you to understand, these men were preparing to be scholars to preach the word. But while they were preparing to be scholars to preach the word in the school of prophet, they were not just sitting around studying, they were actually serving God. Now, a lot of people don't like that word servants today. It's sad that in many of our churches, we know little about serving. We want to be served. But we need to learn to prepare, and part of preparing is to learn to serve God. You see, a lot of our people today never get involved in the work of God. I think if they say about 20%, maybe 30%, we have a higher than normal average here in this church, I believe, because we have a lot of young adults and a lot of adults that are working with the children and want a program on Wednesday night. They're working with the young people over in the other building, and they're working with the children down there in that building. So we have probably more than just 20% actually serving in this church. But they were serving God. They just weren't sitting, letting someone serve them. Most members today never pick up the axe. They never pick up the hammers to build. They just like to complain and watch others do it. Folks, that's sad, but that's the way it goes in a lot of our churches. They never prepare themselves to actually serve God. And we must prepare ourselves and participate in the work of God if we're going to be part of the body. You see, the body is the whole body, the church of Christ. And everyone plays an important part in that. If one part of the body's not working right, then there's a problem in there. So it takes a participation and a purposeful life. What is God's purpose for you? I'm going to keep asking people that and keep telling them about the will of God, that God wills for you to do something in your life, until I actually see people moving out and doing something. And I know some of you are doing something. You're probably the faithful ones here tonight, but I've told many that some of in our church are doing extraordinary measures in reaching people for Christ. They're telling people about God. But still, there's probably around 20 or 30% actually doing something like that, and the others are just watching them. Not only that, God wants you not only to have a purposeful life, as we see here, I believe, a productive life. You see, the story of the axe head is a symbol of the Holy Spirit that is essential for service in the work of God. And I'm afraid in our churches today, we're trying to chop wood with axe handles and no axe heads. Now, that's hard to do, isn't it? If you grew up in the country, you know how to chop wood. You know it's nice to have a good sharp axe head. It's nice to have a good sharp axe. And our part in the work is found in verse 5. Look what it says. But as one of them was cutting down a tree. You see, he was involved in the work of God. Here's a young man, involved in the work of the building. What he did, he went over and he got him an axe. He got and he starts cutting down one of these trees to build the building that they're going. He represents, I believe, the individual involvement and the individual responsibility that we have in the work of God. Every single one of us have that responsibility. When something needs to be done, it's not, well, it's Teddy's job to do that. No, it's not. It's not Brother Bill's job to do that. No, it's not. It's not the pastor's job to do that, or the janitor's job to do that, or Richard's job to do that, or Dan's job to do that. It's all our responsibility. You see, preacher, the staff did not go to visit them in the hospital. Well, why didn't you? No one went to see them. Why didn't you? You're just as important of the body as I am. You see? All of us have that responsibility. Don't be critical of the pastor. And nobody's criticized me, by the way. Don't be critical of any of the staff. You do it. If it's your ideal to do something, you say, hey, preacher, I've got an idea. And if I say, okay, let's work at it, you take up. Well, who's going to do it? You? No, you do it. It was your idea. You put it in to go. You get behind it. You serve there. You see, that may be what's God leading you to do. Somebody always comes up and says, you know, God gave me a good idea tonight. I want to share it with you. Maybe you can put it in. You put it in and start doing it. That's the part. Maybe God, since you said God showed it to you, then you take it. Each person has a part of the body, a personal responsibility to get involved in the growth of the church. You see, God works through people. Churches are led by pastors, I understand, and Sunday school lessons are taught by teachers, and souls are won by soul winners, and tithes are given by all the members, and God's mission is carried out, but it's carried out through the whole personal church. The whole body must be involved. Our part is simply to find out, Lord, what do you want me to do in this body of Christ, and yield to God enough to do that much. Start actively involved. This man could have said, Elijah, you know, we need some trees chopped down out there. I think you ought to go out there and get doing that. No, he said he got involved, and as he was cutting down a tree, he was personally involved. He was serving God productively in his life. And the axe head reminds us there is another part of serving productively. You've got to have power if you're going to serve productively. Amen? In verse 5, it says, as he was felling a beam. It speaks of he's out there chopping the wood. He's cutting down a tree. He was putting in the effort, but he wasn't actually doing the cutting. The young prophet was swinging the axe, but the axe head was actually cutting the tree. Amen or oh me. The axe head is the element in the service of cutting down that tree that made him effective. Now let me tell you something. So are we. We're part of the body. We go out, but it's actually the Holy Spirit inside, after we're filled with the Spirit, that actually convicts people. Amen. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. You know what? I've talked to some people. I never will forget. I've talked to some people about salvation, and I've talked to them, and I've talked to them about salvation. And you know what? The Holy Spirit just wasn't moving in their life. They just looked at me like, that's good. But you know what? I found later on somebody else would go to that individual and say, you know what? And you know, a light came on. Why? The Holy Spirit moved. You see? It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. And the axe head is the symbol of the power of the Holy Spirit in our service. We are called to serve. We are called to work for the glory of God. However, unless we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, when we serve without the power, you know what we're only doing? We're only swinging the handle. We're not doing any good, because the axe head is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what works in our life. So if we got sin in our life, if we've lost that cutting edge in our life, then we're just swinging the handle. And we might as well try to stop the wind from blowing as try to go out and win somebody for Christ without God's power in our lives. We have to be filled with the Spirit. A good example of a man that wasn't filled with the Spirit was Samson. You remember Samson is he was a very physical, I believe, strong type young man. But in the Bible, he lost the filling of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? It was God who was working those miracles. He might have thought it was him as he killed the lion, as he whooped the Philistines. He might have thought it was himself, but it was the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's a sad example, a sad testimony in our life. The Bible says the Philistines once again came upon Samson. And the Bible says the Lord had departed from him. It is a sad testimony when we try to go out and do something in Jesus' name and the Spirit is not with us. We're in the flesh like Samson. And the secret to all that he'd done was his spiritual strength was in Christ. The Lord had departed. We have a purposeful life, folks. And we have a productive life with the filling of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to look at something else. In verse 5, it says, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. It represents a powerless life. You see, in the story, the axe head comes off and falls into the water. And the young prophet is left to do the work without any cutting edge, without the power of the Holy Spirit. We're left without any cutting edge in our life. The axe head has been lost. And the young prophet, you know, I think about it. If you've ever cut wood, you can get so busy chopping wood, splitting wood. Sometimes the head gets loose. You ever had that done? And if you're not careful, the axe head will come off. It'll slip off. I can remember, you know, when our old axe got head got loose, Daddy would say, turn it over, take it, pound it on a stump, and then push it back down on there, split it open, put a hammer and drive a wedge in there, make it tight again. You have to be careful in your cutting that you get so busy that you lose your cutting edge. And folks, I believe in our churches today, it's a representation that we have people so busy doing the things that they're doing without the power of God, they don't even realize they've lost the head till it's too late, till they're like Samson. Then we notice, he says the axe head was borrowed. It reminds me that the power for service doesn't lie with our hands. It doesn't lie with us. It belongs to God. And God says, I will fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit if you will just walk according to my ways and according to my words. And if you study God's word, if you get into prayer, it'll be a productive life with God as your strength. But without God, we can do nothing. So tonight, as we come to a close, I want you to ask yourself, have I lost my cutting edge? Have I lost presence of the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I trying to serve God just with the handle? Well, this man realizes he's lost the cutting edge. So he said to the man of God, "Master, I've lost the axe head, and it was borrowed." And the man of God says, "Where did it fall? Where did it fall?" You see, if we're going to be productive, what do we got to do? We've got to go back to where we lost the power of God. In each individual's life, I don't know what's stopping the flow of God through your life. I know what stops the power of God in my life. When I fall short, when I sin against God, the power is stopped. It stopped. And I have to go back to where I lost my power. It may mean that I've got to go to a brother that I've said something against. It may mean that I've got to go back and get on my knees before God and say, "Lord, I have sinned against you." Just like David, he cried out to the Lord, "I have sinned against you, God. Search me." And God will. Well, we lose our power, folks, when we've not been spending time with the Master. If you do not spend some time in the Word of God on a daily basis, how much time? I don't know. Sometimes I read more than others. Sometimes I pray more than others. Sometimes, you know, you don't have time to spend a lot of time, but you know what? Somebody in Walmart the other day thought I was crazy. I was just walking down the aisle there saying, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." People would pass by and they'd look. I didn't care. I was so thankful to the Lord that I was just able to walk down that aisle knowing that I had been forgiven. Hopefully, they listened. You know, we go back to where we lose our power. We return to doing the things we know we need to do. Folks, I know we need to read God's Word. I know we need to pray. I know we need to visit. You see, God blesses those things. God blesses your spending some time. "Well, preacher, I don't have that much time to spend reading Word." Just pick it up. Or like Teddy said, just sing a psalm as you're going down the highway. Whatever. Just praise God through prayer. You know, you don't have to, you know, read a whole chapter a day or three chapters a day. No, just memorize a verse of Scripture and say it over and over and over. You know, God's power will come in your life. You see, God loves to be praised. Go back to where you allowed sin to come in and confess that sin. And when you do, God will forgive. And He will restore the power. I've got this nice grill out on the back porch. For Father's Day, I bought me a grill a couple of years ago. I went out to use it, tried to light it. It wouldn't light. I said, "Well, the gas must be off." I went down Walmart and got another one of them tanks. Spent $17 on a tank of propane. Carried it home, plugged it up, turned it on, tried to light it. It still wouldn't light. Probably gave them a full tank. You can't ever tell when those things are empty or full. I can't. I tried to strike a match one time and blew up my face. Well, that's neither there. But you know, what's the problem with that thing? A little dirt dauber. pesky little things, had built a nest in that little jet. Just a little dab of mud stops the flow. Folks, just a little sin stops the flow in our lives. It may be just a little thing that's holding revival back in your life. And you say, well, preacher, that's just a minor thing. It's not minor to God. No sin is too small. You see, the axe head is lifted in verse 6 and 7. So the man of God said, where did it fall? In other words, go back. He showed him. He cut off a stick, threw it in there, and made the axe head float. The miracle of God, the axe head is lifted. And thank God he works a miracle in our lives, and the power of God can be restored in our life, and God can make our lives productive again. You see, the good news of the gospel is our Lord can recover what we have lost and put us to work again. That's the good news. God's not through with us. We've all failed. We've all fallen short. But don't just quit. God can restore you. He wants to restore you. He says, if you will just confess your sin, I will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's important to know where we've lost the axe head and we've lost the power of God, and say, God, restore unto me that joy of my salvation. Let the Holy Spirit work again in my life so that I can be productive in His work. That's what He wants to do. That's the miracle. Where have you lost the power? If you haven't lost the power, what are you doing? Are you serving? Are you being productive in the work? If not, let's do it. Let's get restored. Let's get moving again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this illustration in the Old Testament of the power of God to raise an axe head that's been lost. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the miracle that you can restore our lives and restore that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can live a productive life for you. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's lost that cutting edge, Lord, let us just go back to the place where we lost it and confess it and get our lives right so that we can move forward with the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.